Would you insulate your house with mushrooms instead of the traditional cotton candy-looking polysters we use today? What if your new flat-screen monitor could be protected and delivered using something out of the garden instead of styrofoam peanuts? Hello and welcome to Echelon's 12 for 12, a series of 12-minute podcasts created to inform, entertain, and inspire creative individuals and professionals to examine new and innovative approaches to design. Now, the impact of product packaging is just one example of how the exhibiting world is answering the call of sustainability, enacting truly novel approaches to stay in the black while being green. We'll talk more about the use of mushrooms in our last segment, as well as focus on the bigger issues of sustainability in the episode today. And as always, this podcast is produced and sponsored by Echelon Design, a world-class team of eclectic creatives dedicated to helping organizations build world-class brands, develop deeper connections with customers, and enhance the power of their products and services. And my name is Adam Voss. I'm a comedian, professional MC, and fellow marketing and design geek, and I'll be your host for the next 12 minutes. The life cycle of a trade show is astoundingly ambitious, even to those who have worked in the field for decades. In a matter of days, an empty hall consisting of millions, yes, literally millions of square feet is transformed into a fully furnished environment hosting populations the size of a small city for several days. Then, even faster than it came together, the exhibit hall is emptied and its contents are shipped to various corners of the world. To accomplish this takes many hands, lots of energy, and tons of materials. Clearly, there's room for improvement. In this segment, we'll cover a few instances of strategic thinking and meet some of the personalities involved in making it happen. And one of the most fundamental choices begins with the selection of materials in building an exhibit structure, from wood and metal to the furnishings and electronics that bring it all to life. Much of Echelon's exhibit building begins here, at the table saw, where an experienced carpenter works plywood into an astounding sequence of facets, spans, and shapes engineered to assemble and disassemble in the most efficient way. But at a closer look, this isn't just any plywood, according to Echelon's production manager, Roy Coons. So tell me about the wood you use.
Well, we use a variety of high-grade birch composite, which is a lighter wood. So we, you know, when we build our shipping crates and things like that, drayage gets to be pretty expensive at some of these trade shows. So we're trying to cut the cost of that to our exhibitors.
This whole warehouse reminds me of the last scene in the Raiders of the Lost Ark, the Indiana Jones movie, with all the crates stacked, piled high. Is the Ark of the Covenant in here as well?
No, it isn't. But there is a few diamonds.
Beyond the buzz saws and metal, another significant use of materials goes into the large graphic elements of an exhibit. Helping me get graphic for this segment comes this report by Echelon's creative director, Dwayne Hayes.
Over the past decade, exhibit graphics have grown much larger than they used to be. The exhibit industry was riddled by jobs ruined by the inadvertent piece of lint or hair that just landed in the wrong place at the worst time, resulting in wasted time and materials. Then along came the ability to create what is basically a large lunchbox sticker, cutting down on lab mounting as well as raw material, with no additional crating or packaging required. For a cleaner looking option, exhibit builders have been turning to die-sub fabrics, which can be fastened directly to existing walls or stretched over lightweight frames. It's an effective way to increase height, dimensionality, or create a more sculpted environment in general.
Well, thanks, Dwayne. That was Echelon's own Dwayne Hayes with that report. Now, to get a clearer picture of why fabric is such a good fit for the exhibit industry, Dwayne and I have invited one of the world's leading experts on the subject, Mr. Marco Alvarez from Fabric Images in Elgin, Illinois, to join us, as well as Echelon's founder and president, Reed Harmon. Thanks, guys, for joining us.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So to kick off today's roundtable, I want to keep this as loose and as fun as possible, Marco, could you just tell our listeners a little bit about Fabric Images and the work that you guys are doing to promote a more sustainable product and industry?
Sure. Yeah. Fabric Images celebrates 22 years here in July of this year. And really one of the things that we've looked at over the years is this whole thing of how do we repurpose the structures and the things that we built. And so as we were talking about earlier, you know, it was fun kind of kicking some crates a little bit here and talking to Reed about some of way back when we first met. And really some of the things that we did originally by building circular overheads and some of the structures that we would build for Echelon, that the beauty of that was that we could reuse the structure and just put a new fabric on it. So we were really doing this whole sustainable thing long, long before sustainability became something that was a key buzz for the industry.
Are you starting to see the industry as a whole correct to kind of evolve from where you guys started and where you are now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that we're seeing more and more of the exhibit houses, our customers, like Echelon, looking at ways of repurposing structures and really making hybrid type of exhibits that have been more and more popular.
So in addition to the sustainability benefits of say, using fabric, and this question goes out to all of us, like what financial advantages do you see with integrating fabric into a product? And how are you, you know, Reed, for instance, how are you able to pass these benefits on to your clients?
Between the seamless nature of them, the reuse, lower production costs for that matter, we're using fewer substrates, so there's less weight. It all translates to savings.
Do you find this is like a good marketing or selling perspective for your clients to let them know what you do with your materials and how you, you know, are reaffirming your sustainability efforts and, you know, from end to end?
We hope to do more of that. We're just dabbling with it as we speak, although reflecting back with Marco and the likes, it's funny how we realize we've been doing it all along in small steps, baby steps along the way here.
You know, and I think as we continue to look at the types of textiles and fabrics that we have to offer to the design community and to Duane and to Echelon is what do we also do with that material as well, though? You know, it's one thing that is, you know, we can repurpose the frame part of it, but what do we do with the actual fabric? Do we just take it, bundle it up, and throw it away and create more landfill? Yeah, that's traditionally what's been done, but I think our role is to continue to look for ways of what do we do with that material. So back 14 years ago, we started this process, and it gets actually sent off to a mill here in the United States. It's shredded, melted, and converted into polyester pellets, which then turns into recycled polyester yarn that we offer then in the fabrics that that Echelon is using with us. So it's not just about using the sustainability of a frame, but it's also now taking that fabric and what do we do with it? We can actually recycle it, convert it into polyester.
Marco,
fabrics.
It totally beats my idea of repurposing the polyester into pantsuits.
We can do that too.
what Marco is talking about, though, it isn't an easy endeavor because when they actually print the graphics to the fabrics, it's embedded into the fibers of it. So to be able to find a life for this fabric with this ink in it, is definitely a journey that I'm sure you guys had some fun with.
Yeah, and we've worked with a mill out in the Carolinas that actually produces the Reprieve fiber, which the great thing about it as well is that, you know, if anybody ever wanted to say, hey, is this really recycled material, there's actually a nano code that's built into the fiber to authenticate the fact that, yes, this is recycled polyester fiber. So it's been a challenge, but, you know, I think there's a lot of great companies as Reprieve that have really given us a product with the correct white point. So the product that we're producing then on the graphics side, the good bright colors on a recycled polyester fabric. So it's exciting.
That's fantastic. Gentlemen, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts today. Marco, Reed, Duane, thanks for stopping by. And again, keep up the little things.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Will do.
Thanks again to Duane, Reed, and Marco for sharing their thoughts and joining us in the studio today. In our introduction, we floated the concept of shipping goods and insulating houses using mushrooms instead of polystyrene. Is this possible? The National Science Foundation, EPA, Dell Computer, Crate and Barrel, and Sealed Air Corporation, the inventors of bubble wrap, all seem to think so. Manufacturing of packing products typically extrudes or expands chemicals to create solid foam blocking that can take millions of years to degrade in landfills and leaves the soil tainted with petrochemicals. Ecovative Design's strategy accomplishes something quite the opposite. They divert agricultural waste such as corn husks to their production facility where it's sanitized and used to grow the nebulous precursor to mushrooms known as mycelium. The mycelium are prevented from producing spores or growing into the fruit we encounter on a mushroom pizza, which is what makes them completely safe to use even in the long term as an insulation. It's an idea that has quickly gained worldwide recognition, and we have no doubt it'll only be a matter of time before Echelon can offer a lightweight exhibit that can be turned into rich compost at the close of its life cycle. For more information on this, visit ecovativedesign.com. Sustainability is based on a very simple principle. Everything that we need for our survival and well-being depends either directly or indirectly on our natural environment. But the conditions under which humans and nature can exist in productive harmony is up to us. Even the little things can make a tremendous impact when we all accept the call to reduce, reuse, and recycle. And that's our show for today. Thanks for listening. Join us next time when we touch on proxemics, spatial relationships, and human interactions in the vast maze of a trade show environment. For a complete recording of today's podcast, as well as extras, go to iTunes or listen online at www.echelondesigninc.com. Until next time, thanks for joining.